But you know,
that's okay. That's how this show works. It's,
oh, new,
it's all
new logo.
Yeah, new logo. I haven't updated everywhere yet, but
I haven't been on this in a while. I haven't been since our year in review. So
has it been that long?
I haven't been on since the 2022 year in review.
A little crazy. Well, welcome.
Because you guys
back.
keep talking about shit I don't watch or
yeah,
haven't
that's
watched.
Fair. That's fair. It's a lot of niche stuff, but that's good because that's what Geeks with Kids or GWK does. I still don't know what we're doing with our branding for that. We'll figure it out.
We're now Gawk.
We're Gawk. yeah. So we're here. Me, Brent, and Hawk. Talking on this shorter.
Hey.
Episode because last week John Wick 4 came out and we can't go into that amazing weekend of John Wick 4 without talking about Lance Reddick, who passed away recently on March 17th. He's sort of been this prolific actor that has just sort of been everywhere, and he just shows up in shows and you're like, oh man, Lance Reddick's in this, and awesome, fucking awesome. He's known for his live action roles on TV in movies. He's also done a lot of voiceover work in video games and TV shows. I think the last animated TV show I remember him in was The Legend of Vox Machina season 2. And then he's also been known as a musician, which I didn't really realize until he passed away.
I didn't either.
Yeah, so we should check that out. I don't have any examples, or I should have done that earlier. But yeah, because we are talking about someone who passed away, I think it's sort of weird if we do what's good. That seems weird.
We can skip that this time.
Yeah. Although, go see the Dungeons and Dragons movie. It's really fun. So
that's good. I'm happy to hear that. Happy to hear that this one is good.
Number one movie in the world right now.
I had very, very good vibes when I saw the trailer, but I'm like... But I had good vibes about the last one, too.
Yeah. People are saying it feels like Guardians of the Galaxy, and I will agree with them that it does feel like that. And that's not a bad thing.
Awesome. That's very good.
So Lance Solomon Reddick was an American actor and musician. He's known for playing a number of roles in a number of prolific TV shows like The Wire, Fringe, and then, definitely John Wick, like I just said. Do you remember the first role? Do you remember him in? Do you remember, seeing him for the first time, or at least one that's the most memorable for you? Hawk.
Well, I do know the first time I saw him, and that was when I was watching Oz back in the day. It came out when Oz came out in like, what, 97, 98, I think it was.
We should probably have
RPG. This is a thing.
Yeah. Anyways, I think he appeared in season 3 in that. His character was known as Desmond Mobay. He was Jamaican. And then you learn later in that he was actually like an undercover cop that was sent in to try and bust a drug ring in the prison. Very intense stuff. That show that always kept you on the edge of your seat every week. And, his situation, was no different. I always remember him. His character was very standout. His acting was fantastic. From that, that was my first. That was my first interaction with him.
Oz, 1997 to 2003.
And it was season 4 he was in.
Season 4. Okay.
Was that the last season? Or
no.
Six seasons.
Was it six? It was six or seven?
It was six.
Okay.
That show was... I've only seen... It was harder to watch HBO back in those days. So, if you see one episode, you're just like, well, I guess I'm not going to watch this until the DVDs come out. And I was 16 when Oz came out. So.
Oh my lord! I know.
I was late to Oz. I came really.
I still haven't seen
that. Was one that I didn't watch until well after. Same with The Wire. There was another Lance Reddick show that I was obsessed with that I didn't watch until well after the series was done. I've watched Oz the entire series probably at least 3 or 4 times. It's one of those shows that I put on one episode and I'm locked in.
I feel like it's one of those shows that will take over my life when I start watching
it.
That, like The Wire did. And then I had to stop watching that to catch up on Barry. Brent, what about you? What was the first role you remember Lance Reddick for?
I would say probably the first thing that he really stood out for me for was The Wire. Not like one of his earliest roles. I actually looked it up, and one of his first credited movie role was Godzilla. I did not know that he was in
the Matthew Broderick one.
Yes, that is one of his very earliest credited film roles was in the Matthew Broderick Godzilla.
He played an army person, yes. Didn't he?
Yeah, as he does in movies. That's the thing that I love about him is that he's one of those actors who was always just right on that cusp of being next, like, you know, like a big star, but always stayed humble and always stayed in that role of I'd rather play strong characters than be a leading man. It's very much the similar style of like a Steve Buscemi, who has opportunities to become like a big leading man, but just loves playing those like nuanced, quieter characters. And I love that so much about him. And that was what I liked about him in The Wire was like, he was that one character in that show that was very level-headed, that was very, like, all of the craziness going on around him from his subordinates and from the corrupt people above him, and he was always able to play that character that just always saw the straight and narrow, always saw, like, the straight path ahead, and always examined everything and knew what to do. And I loved having a level-headed character in a show that was so chaotic like that.
So true.
Yeah. Oh man, The Wire, that show. I was speaking of rewatching things. I rewatched The West Wing regularly because it's one of my favorite shows. And he showed up as a DC cop, like you were saying. He's like the stalwart, like person that just randomly shows up. You're like, you know what? I could picture him as a honorable police officer, and then he shows up. You're like, oh damn. But for me, it's hard to separate where I first remember seeing him, because in 2008 he appeared in both Lost and Fringe. So these were like two of my favorite shows at that time, and I don't remember which one came out or where he showed up first in that. I feel like Lost was on.
I think it was Lost. Yeah, Lost was 2004.
Yeah, but he was in 2008 onwards.
No, but he was. I thought he was in earlier because I had read up earlier that he was actually supposed to play Mr. Echo.
Yes, he was.
He was originally cast as Mr. Echo, but he had to turn it down because of The Wire. He couldn't do the contract because of that. But they wanted him so bad for the show, they wrote a character into the show for him to play when he had time.
Mr. Echo was in season 2, I believe.
Yes.
But he didn't. Matthew Abaddon was his character. He didn't show up until season 4. So he was only in the last 2 seasons, but he played this, you know, mysterious person, which he also did on Fringe. On Fringe, I loved his role because he was like the Walter Skinner of that group. He was sort of Walter Skinner being from X-Files, and he just sort of, every time he was on stage, I was just like, I want to know more about you. Why don't you tell us more? And then we would focus back on Denethor
That's part and parcel of his performances. I mean, like, I look at John Wick as the concierge, as Sharon, in that. Like, he is just that guy who is able to just play everything so blank-faced and so stoic and everything, but you see in his eyes there's so much more to him. There's so much more that you know that it's behind this. And you just keep watching, waiting for those little tidbits to start coming out. Like, I love how they developed his character through the John Wick series.
Apparently he's supposed to, like, his character, Sharon, is supposed to show up in the Continental TV show. So,
As well as the Ballerina spinoff.
Yeah, but that's set in now. The Continental is set in the 70s. So we get to see him growing up in the... Yeah. Going up the food chain. So,
well, the Ballerina is supposed to be a prequel too, isn't it?
I thought no. I'm pretty sure it's current time because they have Shane.
What's his name? Ian McShane
in the show as well.
Oh, okay. I'm kind of confused on that. I thought it was a prequel. Like,
who knows?
There's a reason why I'm thinking that, but I can't say it because it's spoilers for the John Wick series.
Fair enough. Fringe was such a good show, and I'm glad that it was one of the. He always seemed. When I remember seeing him, I always remember him seeing him in like bits because I never saw bit parts because I never saw The Wire. I didn't see Oz, so seeing him in this longer form, TV show where he would just pop in and be this mysterious. His voice, man, his voice was just his delivery, his voice, his eyes, like his stare was just like phenomenal.
Like it's the enunciation in that, like with him, you mm-hmm. know, like with every piece of dialogue in that, it's just like he just has this way of like elevating everything he kind of gets his hands on, yeah. you know, and I loved it. You know, it's you can always guarantee whatever was on and was going to be enjoyable.
Yeah, he definitely elevated everything. I remember Tron is one of my favorite things, and he actually did voice work on Tron Uprising, that short-lived TV show that was sort of branching Tron to Tron Legacy. And like, man, that show just had the best voice cast. And speaking of voice cast, he was in Legend of Vox Machina, which is probably mm-hmm. one of my favorite things that he has ever done, because we didn't know that he was in the cast. I remember watching this. Did I watch this with you, or did I watch it with Brittany?
You watched it with me too. We all watched it together in that. It's yeah. like I recognize his voice instantly.
Yeah, as soon as he started talking, and because of his he plays a dragon. Here, I'm gonna play yeah. this.
He plays the dragon.
He plays the main one. Yeah, it just. I think this is him.
Mm-hmm. Mm. No, this is a poison dragon.
Nope, this is a poison dragon. Wrong one. It's hard. Let's see what this does. There he is.
Yeah.
Wait, is that him or is that that Mercer?
Let's see.
No, that's him. Well, that was a short clip that. Oh, anyway, let's go back to the. Yeah, his voice was just a commanding presence, and I just, it's what I'm gonna miss. Like I miss all of these like. These characters that I've loved seeing, and I would hope to see more of. Like, I don't know if John Wick 4 is going to be the last of the John Wick stories, but he was always someone that I wanted to see in those movies.
Yeah.
When he showed up in the first one, I was just like, man, I want to know more about it. Like Brent was saying, he had this air of like mystery and like he knew so many things. Like,
I love the story I watched recently too, where they were showing videos of interviewing cast members from the John Wick series and right after his death, and they were talking with Mark Dacascos and asking him, you know, like what was your fondest memory of him? And he said, I honestly, it was like just performing with him in the film and getting to talk to him, and then knowing him for about a week, and then the two of us sitting down one day after filming. And me talking to him going, where'd your accent go? He's like, I had no idea that was not his real speaking voice. He was that good that I legitimately thought he had that African accent. And I was like, that's why I love characters. I love actors like who stay in character like that.
Oh, yeah. That was like the character in Oz in that, you know, he was playing like, you know, a Jamaican American in that, you know, full accent and everything on that. And then meets with his handler and that. The accent just drops completely. Mm-hmm. You know, you just realize he's like some New York dude.
I love too how that becomes like a part of the plot point of him dropping his accent.
Oh, I know. Yeah, his character gets addicted to drugs.
Oh man,
that is if we get to what's our favorite role is like 100%. That is my favorite role of his the arc that he goes through in that as like a stoic. You know, I'm up here. I am the law. I am in here to do my job. And then as he's going, he starts finding all of these little things that just need to push him a little bit further, a little bit further, a little bit further, a little bit further, compromise a little bit more to the point where like, you know, I'm sorry if I'm spoiling, the show ended 20 years ago.
That's okay.
Almost. But it basically, his storyline ends with him essentially doing something very, very horrible because he got so addicted to drugs while trying to stay undercover that he legitimately goes and turns himself in. Yeah. And it's like, wow. I don't want to be one of those animals that I'm in there like trying to uncover, like arrest me.
Damn.
And I was like, it was such a wonderful, like, the character arc for him was so fantastic to watch.
Was he in a lot of episodes in Oz, or just like
he was in
a couple at seasons? Least,
he was definitely in like 4 and 5, I think. If I remember
correctly. I think he was only in over the course of one season, but he was in a fair amount of episodes, I believe.
Oh, I so remember it being 2 seasons with him.
It's hard for me. I don't remember exactly. I just know, like, because I watched some YouTube videos of his character in the last couple of days just to kind of get caught up, and they only mention season 4, but they don't mention how many episodes a story goes over. They just kind of show, like, the important parts of it.
He was in 12 episodes.
So that's probably 2 seasons then, because they usually only did about 10 episode seasons.
Okay, yeah, fair. Oh my god, why is it so bright? Hawk, like, what was your favorite role for him? Would it be the same? Would it be Oz?
No, it would definitely be The Wire, because it was like, it was... Oh, man. It was... He had, in all 5 seasons, he had a lot of time, you know, and it's like, for a guy who was mainly, like, a character actor in that, this was probably, like, the most starring of his roles in that. So he plays Lieutenant Cedric Daniels. As Brent mentioned, he was a good cop, you know, but he was also a cop in Baltimore City who was in charge of other cops and, you know, had to answer to brass. Mm-hmm. And being that kind of cop in that city, and that is a hard, hard job in that, because, like, you know, everybody, you know, no matter how good a policeman you are in that, there's always somewhere in that, you know. And that was one thing that, you know, with the character that followed him in that, you know, it's like, even though, like, you could see he was being groomed in that throughout the entire series for more of a leadership role in that, there was always this weight hanging over, you know, this file everybody kept talking about his days in the drug task force,
yeah,
you know, and money that went missing, you know. And unfortunately that plagues him right up until the final season,
which you won't tell me about because I'm not there.
No.
Yeah, I actually, to be perfectly honest, I've never actually watched the final season of it. Ooh. I've only seen seasons 1 to 4 so far.
I think I'm in season 4 right now, so
I want to go back and restart it. Especially I want to rewatch season 1. Like, season 1 of that show is one of the best seasons of television I've ever watched.
100%. His first season with him was so intriguing because I've known him to be such a, like, he ends up being a good guy in most of the shows I've seen him in. But in that first season, I was like, is he bad? Is he crooked? Yes, I can't tell. And then, like, the second season, you're like, okay, he's pretty good. And then there's still some hints of, like, I don't know if he's actually a good person, but I think he's working towards the good.
I loved his character in the first season because it was like every storyline I wanted them to take in that show and every direction I wanted them to go, he was the character that facilitated that happening.
Yeah.
And I love that. It was like, this is the type of show I want to see. I want to finally see a cop show that does, like, that shows every aspect of this. And he's the character going, okay, you're going to cover this end, you're going to cover this end, you're going to cover this end. And I'm like, oh, you're giving me everything I want. Thank you.
Yeah. But not just that, but he, you know, when the shit went bad in that series, and that his character ends up, like, you know, taking a lot of the brunt of it and that, you know, and, you know, like, there was that scene way back in season 1 and that where a couple of his cops decided one night in a, you know, after a few beers to go out to the project towers and that and proclaim that how they control the city, only to get assaulted and have their car destroyed.
Get the TVs and thrown at them.
And he has to go down there the next morning, you know, with a burned out patrol vehicle, you know, two cops with injuries and that, and a kid who was blinded by one of his officers, you know, and he has to sort through that muck, you know, but also remain on the line, like, you know, supporting the police and that, you know, and even telling them, no, you write it up this way.
And he took the blame. Oh, man, so good. I think my favorite thing on The Wire was his relationship with McNulty, because it was always, like, up and down. And you're just like, I think he sort of likes him, and he sort of has him under his wing, but he sort of hates him at the same time.
Everybody hated McNulty.
That's fair. But the ladies loved him. just the way that McNulty would eat shit from him, it was just a good relationship. And I love their play. Dominic West played off him really well.
They really did have a great working relationship on that series. It was so good.
I honestly, for me, if I'm thinking about, like, the role that I will remember him by, because I, you know, Lost and Fringe, definitely up there. But I played Destiny for ages, for 8+ years. We played Destiny, right?
Same with me.
Yeah, yeah. So he's one of the main NPCs that helps your character move along the storyline. They're guardians. They're these protectors, and there are three classes: the warlocks, the hunters, and the
titans.
And he was the leader of the titans. So me and Hawk both were separate classes. Like, he's a hunter, I was a warlock. So I had Gina Torres as my leader. He had Nathan Fillion as his. As we've gone along, you're sort of accompanied by this little robot floating ghost. And he was originally voiced by Peter Dinklage, and he ended up leaving the project a year or two after.
Like, it was even before any DLC started coming out, I believe.
I think the first DLC, they replaced them, something like that. You get these four main actors that, you know, they really pimped at the beginning of, you know, when they were showing Destiny for the first time. They're like, look at all these amazing actors we have. And then we lost Peter Dinklage. You're like, okay, he got replaced by Nolan North. That's all right. Then they ended up killing off Nathan Fillion's character a couple of years later. I think that was in Destiny 2, wasn't it?
It was
Destiny 2, because they have a memorial for him by the noodle store. Yeah. And you're like, oh man, now at least we have Lance Reddick and we have Gina Torres. And now Lance Reddick has passed away, and we just have the one of the original peoples left. And you got to give it to Gamers, because when he passed away, gamers all around the world went straight to him in the tower, which was the local hub, and just had, they would just sit there. They would just,
they were just doing like little memorials to him. Like, they would have leading gifts and
emotes.
Like,
oh. Yeah. So when I logged in, because, you know, I wanted to see, there were flag banners, like there are people just lining his area using the flag emote. And I was like, this is amazing. Like, they did the same thing in Star Trek Online when Leonard Nimoy died. They all went to Vulcan, and, you know, they sort of stood around and did a memorial. So it was nice to see all these players that have spent such a long time.
Well, like, apparently he's not just like, he had a character in the game, but apparently he was like a massive fan of playing it as well. Massive. To the point where he was last logged as being online playing the day before he died.
Yeah, the night before he was playing, and he had one of the like highest like number of hours played in the game. Like, he was a massive fan, and he would, like, he loved his fans. Oh, my light just turned off. He loved them so much that he would often like get requests to do like lines and memes, because there were a lot of Zavala memes, and he would just go on his Instagram and be like, you want to hear this? I'm going to read it. And then he would do it in his Zavala voice or whatever voice his
Guardian.
And you're like, man, I cannot imagine someone else saying eyes up, Guardian, because that was him.
No. And I mean, the character he played on is just like so good. And it's like, you know, even that, just like, where you find him in the city and that, when you, every time you, you know, you jump down into base and that, you know, with him peering out over the city, ever watchful and that, eyes on the traveler, you know, it was just, it was really emblematic of like Zavala as a character and, you know, what Lance Reddick brought to that character, you know.
He was such a stoic and like honorable, like we've been saying of all a lot of his roles, he was so stoic and honorable, and he was a man of very few words. But when he got angry in the game, you're like, oh shit, he's mad at me. What I feel bad. I don't want Zavala to be angry at me. I'm gonna actually play a clip from Destiny 2
sure,
because when they started doing the sequel, they're like, we're gonna have our main characters, you know, do a little like prelude to the game, and this is Zavala's. Swap over. Yeah, this is Zavala. Oh, Cade.
Cade 6. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Titan Arc Punch.
Man.
Okay, well, make me want to play Destiny now.
This makes me want to play Destiny again. Like, ah, oh, God.
Oh, I know.
Oh, we spent so much time on that game.
I need a good MMO to get into, and Final Fantasy 14 right now is leading the charge.
I just installed it too. Oh, no. Are you going to play? Because I'll play too.
I am probably going to get into it soon.
Shit. I will play that with you if you don't.
Because I need a video game to play not on stream so that I still love video games and don't start losing my love of them.
I understand.
So
Hawk, Final Fantasy in MMO form.
Yeah. Man.
I know you like Final Fantasy. Anyway, we don't need to talk about that on air. We'll talk about that afterwards. Is there any clips that you guys want to share? I know we had talked about a couple. I don't know if we should show Eric Andre's show. I feel like we might get in trouble for that one.
It might be a little trouble. I say go for the Wire clip.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. How's the Funny or Die clip? Is it...
Do you think it's good.
We can share.
Yeah, it's a little racy.
We'll put that at the end. at the end. All right.
It's racy, but it's one of those, like, it's so out of character for him. It's so anti everything he is in every role he does, and that's why I love it so much.
But he was so good at comedy. It was such a diverse actor. He was good at comedy. You know what I found him in recently? I was doing a rewatch of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yes, and
he does a guest appearance on one of the episodes. It goes into Frank. Backstory. Oh my God. and he's fantastic. So funny.
That's another show that I have to get back into.
Yeah, I only got into it because of it's on Disney Plus, so I finally got to start watching it. Do we need any sort of intro to this scene?
This was like near the end of season one when the case was coming together, wrapping up, and this is his confrontation with Burrell. It was pretty much the opposite of Daniels in that he was just a ruthless piece of shit who was just trying to hold on with claws, trying to claw his way to holding his job
this afternoon too.
It's weird seeing this because the version I have of The Wire is all widescreen, so. Is it widescreen?
Yeah,
it's widescreen. This one's in 4x3, which I assume is the original.
That was the original presentation in that, because, like, you know, The Wire premiered back in the days of cathode TV still in that, so.
Cathode TVs. All right, I'm going to press play. Oh, the... So awesome.
That little, just the little half salute he does. That it's not a proper one. It's just a little. Yeah, but that has to be one of the best lines in The Wire. And that you'd rather live in shit than what see the world work. What have the world watch you work a shovel? Which was, it was so meaningful.
It's such a good. It's such a. He's that role, man. Like, I'm glad that you made me watch The Wire because he's so good. He's just so, I have a clip of all of Sharon's role working in John Wick movies, but you know it's long because he's fairly prominent in those. So you know, just watch the John Wick movies; they're fun.
Yeah, if you haven't already, come on, you guys. Where have you been?
And then you can go see the fourth one in theaters, and then you'll see him again as that character when The Ballerina comes out. Brent, I feel like the Toys Are Me clip. We can end the show on that. But I did notice that there are a couple projects that he still has upcoming. So it's not like we're not going to have a couple stuff. We're not going to have our final product.
Well, we haven't seen the last of them.
Yeah, so Ballerina, like I said earlier.
I was very interested to see what his final one is.
Well, it's going to be, we have White Man Can't Jump, which was a remake that's coming out this year. But his final role is going to be him as Zeus in Percy Jackson and the Olympians.
The one that bothers me is the one that they're probably going to have to recast him in now.
Which one?
He was cast as Hellboy in the Hellboy animated movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, they didn't they didn't get
And to, I don't know whether or not he finished the work on it yet.
They didn't. They haven't even finished recording all of it.
Holy crap, I'm looking at the IMDb list of the stuff he's got coming out. He's doing the Kane Mutiny Court Martial with William Friedkin directing.
I don't know if he's going to be in that, man. It's in production, so he might not have been able to finish his stuff. It's all the completed stuff, like Saint Sebastian. Percy Jackson, he finished filming, luckily. White Man Can't Jump. Yeah, those are all coming out. Those are all done. His roles are. And apparently, he's also recorded some of the next season of Legend of Vox Machina. So I don't know what they're going to do with that. If they're going to have to, because he's a fairly big role.
He's huge. He's huge in that.
He's the bad guy of the next season.
Yeah.
So, man, they could have recorded all of it. We know who knows. He was a beast when it comes to working.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts before I play this last clip on our out? I'm looking forward to seeing more like his last works. It's going to be sad when I don't see it again.
I'm not a fan of Percy Jackson, but I'm looking forward to seeing him play Zeus.
I don't mind.
Because he has the gravitas to pull something like that off. Like,
oh, most def.
Yeah.
I like those books. I think they're fun and cheesy.
One thing I'm very sad about is he was such a prominent character in Horizon, the video game, and that he will not be around for the third entry into the franchise,
which I assume was going to be the conclusion, because we have Burning Shores in April, and I don't know if he's in it. I would assume
he was in it, because as I said, he was a workhorse in that, as far as like, because he loved what he did, you know. Like, you know, even just in you know, as a character actor, you know, you could tell like he just absolutely loved what he did for a living. Yeah,
you know what, I want to mention, even though it's a short-lived series, he was amazing as Wesker on the Resident Evil TV show.
I started watching it and I never finished that.
It's not bad. It's weird.
I remember a lot of backlash from people when that casting was announced. Yeah, just because, I mean,
he's not like a white the obvious. Guy.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sitting there like, when I first heard that announcement, I was like, the only thing I can think of is, name a role this guy can't play well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who cares if he's not the same color as the character in the games? You're basing it on talent, and this guy oozes fucking talent. Like,
it was weird because I actually started caring for Wesker on the show, even though he's still evil. And you're like, out of all the actors that I could think of that played that role on on screen, he would be the only one that I've actually felt empathy for. Because the other ones in the Mila Jovovich movies, he was not.
I do remember this one scene, which kind of, it was his daughter got into some sort of daughter of another employee at the facility, and that, and you know, kind of the whole thing kind of got taken up to, you know, human resources and that, and he basically kind of, he let out that evil side of him and that, saying it's like, what is it exactly you do for this company? Because basically, yeah, we can get anybody to do what you do for this company. There's nobody else who can do what I do for this company.
Oh, he's so good, man. Yeah. Oh, man. All right. Well, thank you guys for coming on. I'm going to play this last clip. We can talk over it, too, as it goes on. But yeah, we'll be back. I'll be back sooner than these two, because I'm going to do... We have a review for MLB 23, the show, and that's going to come out this week. The baseball game, you know.
Did you like it?
The sports. It's actually really good. It's like,
oh, good.
It's like technically really good. And
when are you recording that?
Probably Friday.
I'll let you know. I might be able to get a little bit in before then.
For sure. Like,
I might try it out.
They have the story mode about the Negro League and stuff. Like, there's history in it, and like, it's very good. I'm very bad at baseball. Like, the timing, like, there's so many different...
There's a reason this thing is called Jocks with Kids.
Yeah, man. Exactly. Yeah. I'm fine with baseball in real life, but the pressing for, like... Anyway, it's not important, but I'll talk about that on Friday. Yeah, thank you guys for chatting. We're gonna watch this last clip.
I'm glad we did this.
Yeah, me too. He was a great actor, and I'm gonna miss him.
We will miss him like a lot.
I think the thing I'm happy, like the thing that made me the most happy about, like, I mean, it's weird to say happy about his passing, but like when I first heard about it, I initially thought that like he was one of those guys that like he's one of those actors that I knew about, and nobody else really knew about. So this affected me emotionally, but not really. It was so outstanding to see the outpouring of like love
everywhere
and support for him. Like it was. Way, way more than I ever expected it to be. Like, it's just a testament to like just how much someone can affect and touch people. Like,
you can see
I thought he was my hidden secret, and nope. Apparently, he was the world's hidden secret.
You can see that like at the red carpet premiere for John Wick. And that, like, you can see, like, Keanu Reeves was angry about it. You know, he even like, you know, when he was talking about like his passing, and he's like, it just fucking sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. All right. Let's you know what I liked knowing, I didn't know beforehand, was how many comedic things he was on. Like, I only saw the Sunny in Philadelphia because of these clips that everyone started showing. They're like, look at all these, like, Funny or Die or the Eric Andre Show clip, which you should see. I'm not going to show it on here.
No. No.
But he looks good in one of those Geordie masks, right? let's watch this Funny or Die one. Thank you guys for coming and listening, and we'll see you guys soon. Wait, I have to rewind.
I don't want to count and see if it's 176 now. Oh God, this one killed me.
My God. Amazing. Amazing. I just it's just so
inappropriate and amazing.
I love that he did stuff like this. That made me laugh. All right.
The fact that he can display crazy with just his eyes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You could just, for those listening to it, just stop the podcast version, they know. They can, it's like listening to, they know. They know.
Yeah. They know.
All right. Thank you guys for coming. And thank you guys out there for listening. We'll see you guys soon. Goodbye. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's it for us this week on Geeks with Kids. If you want to get a hold of us, you can send us an email at podcast@geekswithkids.ca. And don't forget to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geekswithkids. Follow us on Twitter at geekswithkidscn. Check out our pics on Instagram at geekswithkids. And you can find all of this good stuff on our website at www.geekswithkids.ca. So if you like what you hear, why don't you hit that subscribe button and leave us a comment. This podcast can be found on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, YouTube, and your favorite podcasting app. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.